Our next public hearing is change of zone number 1755 Bunting Gray LLC.
This is the application of Bunting Gray LLC, an ordinance to modify condition number 1 and delete conditions number 2 and number 15 imposed on ordinance number 1532. For change of zone number 1460, the application of Bunting Gray LLC for the refuge at Derrickson Creek, a MRRPC medium density residential district, residential plan community to increase the maximum number of allowable dwelling units from 343 to 355 units, of which no more than 68 units shall be multifamily units, and to eliminate the B1 neighborhood business uses permitted by ordinance number 1532 on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore, Hunter, Sussex County, containing 3.3494 acres more or less land lying north of Route 54, 6/10 of a mile east of Road 381. The property is identified as tax map District number 5-33, map 12, parcel 674. For your review, I'll pass down a copy of the approved ordinance. That's number 1532. We received two comments from agencies. The first one's being from the Office of State Planning Coordination. It's addressed to Mr. Lank. We are in receipt of your letter dated June 20th, 2014 regarding the above mentioned project. This project was reviewed and approved by Sussex County in April of 2002. Therefore, it has not been reviewed by the Preliminary Land Use Service. Per your letter, the original approval for this project was for 343 residential units, of which 287 single-family lots and 56 multifamily units were proposed, and 3.43 acres of commercial development. It is noted that the approved square footage of commercial was not identified in ordinance number 1532. Since the original approval, the developer has built the proposed 287 single-family units and changed the proposed number of multifamily units to 48. At this time, the developer is seeking to eliminate the B1 neighborhood business and the resulting commercial structure and increase the number of multifamily units to 68, a net result of 12 additional multifamily units. After reviewing the project area, it appears the parcel is within a level 3 area according to strategies for state policies and spending. In addition, 12 units does not meet the requirement for a plus review. Therefore, the Office of State Planning Coordination does not require a plus review for the modification of the site plan as noted. The state is concerned, however, about the removal of commercial development. The residents of the attached subdivision bought their lots with the understanding that there would be neighborhood commercial to perhaps support the residents of the community. Does the county have a process in place to ensure that the existing residents do not object to the change of use proposed by the developer? The state feels it would be important to consider the wants and needs of the existing residents before making a final decision on this modification to the existing approval. In addition, in ordinance number 1532, the county placed several conditions on the project. The state asks that these conditions, with the exception of number 1, remain as conditions to this development, and that was signed by Constance C. Holland. From the Sussex County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division, the project is located in the Fenwick Sanitary Sewer District. Wastewater capacity is available based on the available information. It appears there is adequate capacity. Ordinance number 38 is required. There are no system connection charge credits for this project. It is likely that additional system charge connection charges will be required. The current rate is $5,500 per EDU. The proposed project must install off-site gravity sewer and connect to an existing manhole in Leisure Drive near the project entrance. conformity to the South Coastal Area Planning Study 2005 update or undertaking an amendment will be required. The applicant proposes a modification of conditions associated with a previous change of zone approval to remove the B1 business uses and construct 12 residential units in its place. And a concept plan is required by their office. On August the 6th, we received a letter. It's addressed to Mr. Lank. I represent the refuge at Derrickson Creek Owners Association and reviewed the application submitted by Bunting Gray LLC seeking to modify and delete certain conditions of change of zone number 1755. The association understands that the purpose of these proposed modifications is to eliminate the B1 neighborhood business area originally proposed for the refuge at Derrickson Creek and to substitute 20 townhouse units in place of that commercial area. The board members asked me to write to the Planning Commission and confirm that Mr. Bunting and Mr. Gray met with the association and explained their proposal. As reflected in the materials provided to the Planning Commission by the applicants, the association's position is that the changes being proposed by the applicants require the amendment of its declaration of reservations, restrictions, covenants, and easements recorded in Deed Book 2977, page 307. In response to the association's position, the applicants informed the board that they would propose a condition as part of their zoning request, which provides them 6 months to acquire the requisite number of votes to amend the declaration if the proposed modifications are approved. The board agrees with this process and will provide information to the applicants as requested as it seeks to obtain approval from the association for amendments to the declaration. And that was signed by David C. Hutt, their attorney. The applicants submitted an exhibit booklet on July 28th. Each of you received a copy of that, and that will be made a part of the record for this application. And that's all we received to date, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir, we thank you. Okay, who's up?
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission. For the record, my name is Shannon Carmine Burton. I'm an attorney with the law firm of Sergovic, Carmine & Weidman. I represent the applicant, Bunting Gray, LLC, who proposes a conditional ordinance amendment to modify condition number 1 and to delete condition number 2 and 15, which are imposed on ordinance number 1532, for change of zone number 1460 in order to increase the maximum number of allowable dwelling units in the residential planned community known as the Refuge at Derrickson Creek and to eliminate the B1 uses which are currently authorized on this parcel. Also in attendance this evening on behalf of this application are Coleman Bunting and Ron Gray, members of the applicant Bunting Gray LLC, and also the developer of the Refuge. Mr. Bunting will present background information surrounding the circumstances of this application. Mike Wigley, principal of the engineering firm of Davis, Bowen, and Friedel, will address the engineering aspects of the application. I will conclude the presentation with a brief summary of the amendment of the declaration, as well as the compliance with the comprehensive plan and the zoning code. As Mr. Abbott stated, we have submitted a booklet for your review and consideration, which is complete with supporting exhibits, as well as a proposed findings of fact and conditions. At this point in time, I would like to invite Mr. Bunting to address the commission.
If there's anyone here with an interest in this application, these boards up here are very difficult to see from where you're sitting. So if you would like, feel free to get up and walk right up to the board and take a look. I would just ask that you not have any conversation while you're up there because we're going to proceed with the hearing. But if you wish to come up and take a closer look, please feel free to do so. And Mr. Bunning, go ahead. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, good to see you all again. I wanted to address the commercial aspect of this. We've had this project under construction for over 10 years. During that 10-year period, we have had the tried unsuccessfully to be able to interest any commercial operations to either buy or rent in that area. and to address the concerns that were made public on the record by Shane, we have a commercial property next door that's been there as long as we have. We have a Food Lion next door, and this is contiguous. There's a Food Lion, there's a pharmacy, there's an Atlantic General doctor's office, there's a therapy service in there, and there's a real estate office. And that particular development has taken about 10 years to rent out. They have just recently had the doctor's office and the therapy go in, and they still currently have two pad sites that they have been unable to rent or sell. And that commercial property has an entrance right off of 54 with a stoplight. So it makes our piece, not as desirable as theirs. So I think that shows that there's really no strong demand or need for commercial to service our particular project.
Thank you, Mr. Bunting. At this point, I'd like to invite Mr. Wigley to address the commission.
Commissioners, what I think I'll do is walk you through the plans and show you very quickly how this project works in relation to the entire site. What I'll do is direct you to the right-hand side of the board. This is where Route 54 is, to give you some orientation of the project. This is the entire refuge community that came before you all and the council back in 2002. And the way that the community was set up at the time, it's 220 acres, pretty close to 220 acres. About 35 acres of that is state wetland, another 35 acres is 404. We've got about 25 acres of roadways throughout. We designed a community that was broken up into smaller neighborhoods. Just about all of the lots are facing on some type of either natural or man-made amenity that we've worked into the project. The parcel that we're talking about is 3.43 acres, and it represents this corner of the overall 220 acres that you see. And of course, back when this was originally conceived, the idea was that for every 100 units, you could put in an acre of commercial, and so that's where the 3.43 came from. We originally had 343 units proposed. Originally proposed of those 343 were 56 townhouse, townhouse style condominiums. Since this plan has gone through, the developers only built 48 of those. What we're proposing tonight on this parcel where the commercial is shown is to come in with 20 townhouses, it would be an additional 12. So from the 343 that was originally approved, we're asking for 355 total tonight. So 12 additional, but 20 would be located on the parcel. One thing that I do want to point out while we're looking at this board is that if you look across Route 54 to the south, that is the single-family portion of Kenwick West that actually faces on 54. There's actually driveways from those homes that come right out on 54. So it is a residential feel, this stretch of 54. So we think that even though commercial wouldn't be going in there on the refuge side, that the townhouse would still be a compatible use right there on that property. The 355 units represents 1.91 units per acre, so it's well below the floor maximum that would be permitted. The perhaps maybe the thing to do is to show you the enlarged version of the commercial area. The orientation changes a little bit with this. This was a larger version of what we were just looking at. In this case, Route 54 runs at the bottom of the page. What was being proposed on that 3.43 acres before was a one-story, about 28,800 square feet of retail space. You can see the amount of parking field that is used to accommodate that type of commercial use. And the footprint area here represents about a half acre. The pavement represents about 2 acres. The leftover open space is just under an acre with this particular plan. When we go to the proposed townhouse-style condominiums that we're looking at. The footprint area of those increased to 1 acre. The pavement area reduces to just over a half an acre. The open space actually doubles from what was proposed. So with this layout, we actually have more open space available. What we're trying to do with this layout is you'll notice that all of the units will face either the natural stormwater management amenity area that we've created or existing woodlands. So internally, I believe it will feel quite good for those residents and what they experience. The setback from the ends of these buildings to the property line is 60 feet. There's an additional 15 foot that's dedicated for a roadway expansion. So 75 feet from the current Route 54 roadbed would be the setback located there. Parking that's being provided, these are garage units. They are two stories. The garage will take care of one parking space. The driveways are large enough to handle another parking space. So we're able to meet the code requirement for the two parking spaces per unit. But we are showing an additional parking space per unit for guest parking. So we've got three parking spaces per unit proposed for the site. Access comes from the existing entry off of Leisure Drive as it comes out to Route 54. You'll see in this plan that there's no proposed entrance right off of Route 54. Mr. Abbott had mentioned about the sewer capacity and the capabilities. It is served by the Fenwick Island Sanitary Sewer District and would be a collection system off of 54 through the pumping station located at Shady Park. We submitted a concept plan to the Department of Engineering back in August of 2013. We're actually looking at a larger project back then, and they had approved over 40 EDUs for that particular project. This one would only require 20. So based on that approval, what we're requiring, we're well under what they think that this property could handle. Water is being provided by Artesia for domestic and fire protection. Fire protection itself will be provided by the Roxana Volunteer Fire Company, substation 2 tenths of a mile away. Electricity, Delaware Electric Co-op, telephone by Verizon, cable by Comcast. Stormwater management, we also, in the preparation of this plan, submitted to the Conservation District a conceptual stormwater management plan, and that has been approved, and it's in that booklet as well. So we think we've got drainage and stormwater management covered for this project. And I think perhaps I'll leave it there and answer any other questions you might have later on.
Thank you, Mr. Wigley. I'd like to conclude the presentation with a brief summary of the amendment of the declaration as well as the compliance with the comprehensive plan and the zoning code. As we've stated, the applicant is the developer of the existing residential planned community known as the Refuge. This parcel is included in the rezoning approval of the Refuge by ordinance number 1532, whereby change of zone number 1460 was approved subject to certain conditions. Of those conditions, number one placed a maximum number of dwelling units at 343, of which no more than 56 units could be multifamily units. Condition number two provides that the maximum area of commercial development shall be 1 acre per 100 dwelling units. And then condition number 15 prohibits direct access from the commercial area on Route 54, except from the existing entrance location serving the site. To date, as Mr. Bunting has indicated, the property remains undeveloped, and that's due to a lack of interest in that commercial space on the property. The Refuge is governed by the Declaration of Reservations, Restrictions, Covenants, and Easements, which are placed of record in the Office of the Recorder of Deeds and in Forest Sussex County. This property is identified by the declaration as the commercial area, and as such, it has certain separate rights from the other lots and units in the Refuge. The owners of any lot or unit in the Refuge are members of the Refuge at Derrickson Creek Owners Association. During an annual meeting of the association, an owner actually inquired as to whether the applicant would consider developing this parcel for townhouses rather than the commercial uses which are currently authorized on the parcel. As a result, the applicant surveyed the owners at the refuge to determine whether or not this the rest of the community preferred the residential use versus the commercial use. The majority of owners who responded to the survey did vote in favor of the change in use from commercial to townhouses. Unfortunately, it is the position of the association that the declaration must be amended in order to change the use allowed on this parcel and to define how that use will interact with or impact the rest of the community. In order to amend the declaration to eliminate the commercial uses and to increase the maximum number of multifamily residential dwellings that are permitted, it's necessary to obtain the affirmative vote of two-thirds of the total vote, which includes all of the lots and the units. The board of the association has expressed approval of the change in use from commercial to residential via email dated June 18, 2014, to the applicant, in which a board member advised the applicant that the board is very much in favor of including proposed additional townhomes in our HOA. We feel it is a win-win situation. Notwithstanding, they did recognize that obtaining the requisite number of votes may be a difficult task. As a result, it's necessary that any approval of this application be conditioned upon obtaining the requisite number of votes to amend the declaration within 6 months of adoption of any ordinance approving the application, which is why we've requested a conditional amendment to the ordinance. In the event that the applicant is unsuccessful in obtaining the requisite number of votes to amend the declaration within the six-month time frame, we request that the conditional amendment become void and that the use revert back to the commercial use as authorized currently by Ordinance Number 1532, and therefore Condition Number 1 as originally adopted and Conditions 2 and 15 as originally adopted would be reinstated. Notwithstanding, the proposed use does comply with the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan update June 2008. The plan identifies this property as being located in the environmentally sensitive developing area. The plan provides at page 3-16 that the environmentally sensitive developing areas are areas that can accommodate development, providing special environmental concerns are addressed. A range of housing types should be permitted in environmentally sensitive areas, including single-family homes, townhouses, and multifamily units. Although the applicant has already received approval to improve the property with any use permitted in the B1 zoning district, the applicant now seeks a downzoning from allowable commercial uses to townhouses, which are also a permitted use in the residential planned community district, as the applicant desires to maintain the upscale residential character of the refuge. The proposed conditional amendment also complies with the zoning code. The zoning code provides that the purpose of the RPC district is to encourage large-scale developments as a means of creating a superior living environment through unified developments and to provide for the application of design ingenuity while protecting existing and future developments and achieving the goals of the comprehensive plan. The County Council, back in 2002, found that the original rezoning of the refuge was appropriate legislative action for the following reasons. One, it met the purpose of the zoning ordinance because it promoted the orderly growth of Sussex County. Two, MR zoning was appropriate for the project site because it's located where central sewer and water are available. Three, it met the purpose of an RPC, which is to encourage large-scale development as a means to create superior living environments. And four, the project was located along Route 54, where projects with similar densities or greater densities than the refuge are located. As this application seeks a downzoning of authorized uses and adds only 12 additional multifamily units, the findings of the County Council from 2002 have not changed. As indicated by Mr. Wigley, the residential use not only represents a downzoning of the uses permitted under the ordinance, it also preserves more open space and reduces the impervious areas significantly. As a result, at the request of Mr. Lank, Constance C. Holland, AICP, Director of the Office of State Planning Coordination, waived the requirement to participate in the PLUS process on June 27th of 2014. At this point in time, I'd like to bring Mr. Bunting back to the podium, if you don't mind. Now, you have heard the representations that I've made to the commission this evening. Is that correct?
Yes.
And you have heard the representations that Mr. Wigley has made?
Yes.
Are those representations true and correct to the best of your knowledge and belief?
Yes, they are.
Do you have anything else that you'd like to add?
Nope.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Bunting. For the reasons presented tonight, we respectfully request that the Commission recommend approval of our request for a conditional ordinance amendment to modify condition number 1 and to delete conditions number 2 and 15 imposed by ordinance number 1532 for change of zone 1460 in order to increase the maximum number of allowable dwelling units from 343 to 355, of which no more than 68 units shall be multifamily units, and to eliminate the B1 uses permitted by ordinance number 1532, as this complies with the comprehensive plan, the zoning code, and is appropriate legislative action. However, we do request that any recommendation for approval be conditioned upon the applicant's ability to obtain the requisite number of votes of the association, which includes the lot owners and the unit owners, and the refuge, to amend the declaration within 6 months of any approval of any adoption of an ordinance by County Council approving the application. In the event that that condition cannot be satisfied within that six-month period, we respectfully request that the conditional amendment to ordinance number 1532 become void and conditions 1, 2, and 15 as originally adopted be reinstated. And I thank you for your consideration of this request. We are all available for any questions that you may have.
All right, we thank you. We'll see if anyone has any questions for you, and we'll start with Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Ms. Burton. The exhibit book was very helpful, and as was your presentation, brief as it was. I was crossing off the questions that I did have as you were giving your representations. I did want to ask you, I was trying to make about you made the statement that if this B1 is eliminated and the multifamily goes in, it increases open space. And I was trying to juxtapose these drawings. And would that be the open space that would be like in the spaces in between the buildings and the parking areas creates a little bit more green space? Or you please tell me.
That's correct. Everything that you would see that is green on this drawing would represent open space, as would this on the green on this one. Counting the islands in this plan.
Mm-hmm. Does this possible proposed change of use do anything to your stormwater management issues? Would you have to go readjust? I see you have some wet ponds. Is there?
Right. The proposed concept plan that went along with this does alter the stormwater management, the piping and whatnot. In your booklet, you'll see that there is the different than the commercial just because of
the
layout will change
it and
cause water to go in different directions.
Thank you.
We have less pervious surface with this plan, less impervious surface with the new plan than we did in the old, so there's less stormwater runoff. Mm-hmm.
By 25%, correct?
100%. There's twice as much open space.
Twice as much. Okay. All right, thank you. Now, how many homeowners are there currently in the refuge?
You have to come up
of the number that was built.
Well, there's 287 single family lots, 277 are sold, so there's still 10 to go there. In the townhomes, there are 48, and we have about 10 more of those to sell yet too. So, 277 and 38, whatever that is.
All right.
315.
15.
Thank you.
If you trust my math.
Keeping in mind that you're a lawyer, not a mathematician.
Exactly. I'm glad that you understand.
And that comports with my calculation.
How many responses did you get? I believe you said that this was run by the homeowners, and the majority of them, your majority of the responses were favorable.
Yes.
What was the number of responses?
We received 192 responses. The developer did not vote. Mr. Bunting, you still have 10 single-family lots and 10 units, so 20. 122 voted in favor and 70 opposed.
And to get this, to have this, indications are you need two-thirds of the votes of the association, and you're requesting a six-month period to try to get that two-thirds majority. Was there any magic number that about 6 months that, I mean, could it be less than 6 months, or do you think what if it takes 7 months and this reverts back if it goes forward?
I think we would prefer if it could be accomplished sooner. Yes. I think we agreed
we felt 6 months was a reasonable time frame to get this accomplished.
All right. Thank you. And I guess a question for Mr. Robertson. The way the application is, it's a change of zone. That's because this would be occurring within the RPC.
Yeah, it's a change to the RPC. That's right.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I'm interested in hearing from the public. Thank you, sir.
All right, sir. Mr. Ross?
I just want to confirm that all lot and homeowners were notified, right, of your request?
Yes. It's required as part of the application process. And they all received a letter from the property management company with a survey enclosed in the letter. So they did have an opportunity at that point in time to, advise the applicant of their position. Unfortunately, it is difficult to get responses, which is why we've put, the six-month term on it. But they all have been notified.
Was that done by certified mail or just regular post?
It's required by the application process that we notify the owners within X number of feet.
Our office notifies.
Yeah, this office notifies on an application like this.
You have to notify all of them on
correct.
This. Yeah.
I was just curious as to whether you knew they received them via a certified mail signature, or they got in somebody's box and they're in Jamaica and never opened it.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I don't have anything to confirm receipt.
We go by the assessment records when planning zoning sends it out.
And they're not certified.
Yeah, that's maybe an issue. Okay, no further questions.
Expensive.
Okay.
All right, Mr. Johnson.
Under your original plans, you had an authorization to build more townhouses. So if this project or change wasn't approved, do you still have space to build 8 other units? So your layout changed somewhat. Okay. Was that due to the nature?
Mr. Bunting, if you're going to testify, I need you to say, not because we think you're being disrespectful, it's because that tape won't pick you up from over there.
I understand. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Yes, so the original townhouse layout changed. We added garages to our townhomes, so it became wider, so we just got less townhouses to fit physically on the site.
So you did that for purposes of aesthetic purposes as well as the design of those townhouses?
Market demand. I mean, market demand changed from the time we designed them to, the time we got ready to build them. It was a period of 6 or 7 years, and so we decided to opt to go with more garages and less units. Yes.
Okay. And when this project was originally being developed and shown to prospective buyers, what were they envisioning was happening in that area?
It's always been townhouses.
No, just I'm in the area that you're looking, seeking to.
It was just they were told it was going to be commercial.
So did they think there was going to be like a convenience store that they could restaurant or?
Yeah, we made no representation of the type of commercial, just that it was going to be, retail-type commercial stores.
Okay, so there was not any specific representations of that. So it's not like they're saying now, I'm not going to have my donut shop.
No.
Okay.
And as I stated earlier, in the meantime, this other shopping center, drugstore and Food Lion is right there. So they've got the, the major needs covered within another 200 yards.
So would it be a fair representation then in looking at the advantages versus disadvantages to the residents, the other residents of this project, that if you're allowed to go forward with this and build the 20 units, that now you're going to have 20 more people contributing to the HOA, which can help with the overall expenses of running.
You know. That's correct. That figure is about $20,000 round numbers, that these additional units will pay the full association dues and be able to use the amenity package in the refuge.
And on contrary side, if this was being developed under the commercial side, what, if any, contribution would be made to the HOA?
Very little. There is a shared use agreement in for the roads, yes.
But that would be it. That would be the extent of their the commercial contribution.
That's correct.
So we're looking at a potential benefit to the subdivision or to the MRRPC by changing this to residential versus keeping it as prospective commercial.
Yes.
And on the negative side, what I'm hearing you say is that there might be some increased use of those existing facilities.
Well, we think the facilities, for the most part, are sized to handle it. We always have the 4th of July crunch, but other than that, the swimming pool area and whatnot is, I was there about 2 weeks ago on a Friday afternoon. There was 8 people around the swimming pool in peak season, so it's close to the beach. So and of course the homeowners will get their chance to vote on that when they do their yay or nay on it, but two-thirds.
And the increase would be the 12 additional units.
Additional,
I know it's 20 there, right.
Okay. So bottom line is there's potential influx of additional 20 grand coming into the association to help with running your subdivision, and some impact, but maybe not an overwhelming impact on your existing facilities.
That's correct.
I understand the application, Mr. Chairman. I have no further questions.
Thank you. Mr. Burton?
If this moves forward, are they part of the property lines go away and they're just part of the community, correct?
Yes, they're correct. John, you want to answer that?
Let me answer that question. We have to amend the restrictive covenants, and in doing that, we'll take out all the C1 or the C commercial references. We'll then make this area an additional townhouse area, and it'll be totally integrated and interconnected with the rest of the community. So these members will if the amendment that I'm proposing is adopted, there will be 20 more votes in the association in addition to the existing votes.
They are going to be part of the refuge.
It's going to be totally integrated. And again, I have to amend the document, and we will do that, but I will amend the document so that there is total integration and connectivity.
Will these units look like the other units?
Yes, they do, and Mike has a picture of that. Those are the existing townhomes that are on the refuge parcel, and we're proposing the identical units.
So there won't be a visual difference?
No visual difference.
And by the way, on this drawing, you can see the end of the existing, so the footprints match.
Why are you here now? Why wouldn't you get the approval from the homeowners association and then come in? Why is the order this way?
Initially, we thought this could be accomplished by virtue of the recording of an easement agreement, and we had negotiated that. And John actually should speak to this because he was personally involved. I was on the sideline for that.
Yeah, it really is a kind of a chicken and an egg problem. I mean, if we don't have the approval from the county, there's nothing pressing on the unit owners to do the amendment. And originally I thought we could possibly do it without having to totally re-amend the document. Mr. Hutt disagreed with me, so we're in this process. But again, if if we don't get the approval of the county, there's no reason for us to go back to the Homeowners Association because we have what we have. If we have something with the county, then we can then present to the association, similar to the way Mr. Johnson analyzed the problem, that there are certain pluses and minuses to allowing this residential use to go forward. But we feel that it's necessary to have the government approval first.
Okay. Thank you. I have no further questions.
All right, sir, we thank you. If you'll take a seat nearby. Oh, Counselor, do you have anything?
No.
Mr. Abbott, anything?
No questions.
Okay, thank you. If you'll take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anyone here with an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of change of zone number 1755, Bunting Gray, LLC? Sure, come on up. Give us your name, please. You may have the floor.
Janet Marshall. And I'm a resident at the Refuge.
Okay, good.
And our house actually backs up to where the proposal for these new homes would be. And we're just here to in support of it.
Okay.
I don't know. We weren't there when the vote was taken place, so we actually have not been included in the homeowners that were polled on this.
Okay.
I think those, in speaking with some of the homeowners that were against it, they don't realize that something is going to be built back there. So I think a lot of them are holding out, hoping it will just stay the way it is. And if they understand that it's a choice between commercial property or residential, then it may change their outlook on that.
Okay. All right,
that's
then.
That's it.
Thank you. Anyone else like to speak in favor? Anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to change of zone number 1755? Okay, then. Anyone on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.